there's a train a come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Read from the Word of God today.
Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Hear now the word of God. Think of it this way. I'm reading from the New Living Testament, by the way, so this is a paraphrase, and I think it gives a little bit better understanding. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father set. And that's the way it was with us before Christ came. We were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, "Abba, Father." Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you give us clarity to the word of God today. That you show us in our hearts what a true father is. What a loving father is. The ultimate Father of all. We thank you, Lord. We know that you will give us knowledge and wisdom in your word. And we trust in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A lot of this I took from Blackaby's little thing in the front of your bulletin. But the thing that struck me about that particular devotional was this idea of the model of a father. Now, as all of us think about our fathers, our earthly fathers that we have had, I'm sure there's, in some instances, hopefully, it's you have feelings of love. But in some, it's feelings of hate. Hopefully, you can think back and understand the fun that you had and the laughter that occurred in your household. But in many households, there was fear and distrust. Hopefully, you can think back on your father and you can have respect. But yet there are some people who grow up and despise their fathers. Hopefully your father was someone who accepted you, who drew you to himself no matter what you did, and tried to help you along the way. But some of us had fathers who rejected us. Some had fathers who weren't concerned at all about what their children did. Here's the idea that no matter what your experience of a father is, whether you even had a father, or someone was a mentor in your life as a father. But it doesn't matter. Whatever your experience of father is, you must remember that as a Christian, you must not yield to the temptation of understanding God the Father based upon your experience of your heavenly Father. I see this happen a lot. I do. In counseling people and talking with people. That they impose their own imperfect Father upon what the Heavenly Father is like. Instead, we need to understand the God of the Bible as the model of a true and perfect Father. He is the model that we look to. And so as we consider that, let's kind of walk through Scripture here and think about what God the Father is all about. First of all, and primary and of primary importance, and through Genesis, through Revelation, you see this every step of the way, that God is love. God is love. Paul speaks of the condition of Israel before the Messiah came, as children who were away from what was about to occur 2,000 years ago. In John, in 1 John, the epistle of 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." We cannot love, we cannot know true love without God. And I'm not talking about selfish love where you ingratiate yourself in the love that you have for other people because it somehow benefits you. I'm talking about altruistic, agape love. This all-encompassing, unconditional love that loves in the face of even evil. So we must understand God in terms of the great, everlasting, forever love that He has for us. Now, this is real. This is not some nebulous idea. I mean, our very existence even points to that. Our very presence here even considers the idea of love and is drawn by the love of God because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in our hearts who draw us together for particular reasons, for a particular church like ours. It's supernatural. And it comes from God. He loved you so much that He sent His Son to save you. In Romans 8, 31, 32, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" And we know John 3:16. It's the love of God that sent His Son to reconcile us back to Himself, who draws us in to this supernatural relationship. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's how much God loves you. The God of the universe, the God that created this vast expanse of the cosmos, the intricate and unseeable detail of every atom. He loves you. And He loves you so much that He's willing to draw you to Himself through faith in Christ. And not only that, your Heavenly Father loves you. And because He loves you, He takes you into His family. He takes you into His family. In Galatians 4, 5, we read that God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, sent him, sent Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. So this isn't some esoteric idea. This isn't some sort of metaphysical idea. It is a real idea that you are brought into a real family. A family that you can see with the spiritual eyes of your heart. A family that we have become here, even in this little church. A family that, in the midst of terrible and awful circumstances, such as what occurred in Charleston, South Carolina. And, you know, this crazed young man went in and shot 9 people. Just the bizarre thing to me, well, I suppose it's not bizarre, because this is just an outpouring of evil. That he sat there for an hour in a Bible study before he began pulling the trigger. Did any of you see the arraignment hearing of the alleged murderer? Actually, the confessed murder. He confessed to the crime. Did you see what the families of the people who died came up and said? That basically, pretty much, I don't know if it was all 9, because some of the families weren't there, but it wasn't many. I mean, 1 or 2 families weren't there. But the rest of them got up and forgave the killer. They understood family to a greater, more supernatural, more broad way. Because worldly hearts could never do that. Worldly hearts could never forgive someone like that. But the heart of a Christian can. Whenever I was at last night, at 6 o'clock, they had a meeting regarding the Charleston episode, and they wanted to gather together as a community in Canonsburg. And this was at Mount Olive Church. I was never around a more gracious group of people in the midst of terrible and awful circumstances. People were praying for the community of believers outside of race, outside of political divisions, outside of denominations and walls of the church. They were talking about family, about church with a capital C, brothers and sisters in Christ across all denominations. That it's time that we as a country gather together to proclaim loudly what is wrong, to denounce the evil that exists. I mean, the folks there were talking about, you know, how have we gone from a place where the family was held up in regard to now homosexual marriage? They talked about the drug epidemic that we have in this area. And how it doesn't care about color. It doesn't care about your faith. It doesn't care about anything. Drugs will kill you. And the heroin epidemic that we have is killing people and dividing families. They talked about the fatherless homes that occur in not only black communities, but in white communities as well, too. And they talked about gathering together as believers in Jesus Christ. At the end of it all, the prayer of all the people standing up was that this young man in prison, this young white man, would come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's family. That's God's family. That's who he draws in. That's who we're part of. See, you can't come to that without love. You can't come to that without love in your heart. You can't say those prayers, you can't say those things without the love of God in your heart. And so first and foremost, the God that we believe in is a God of love. And he is a heavenly Father, and he loves you, and he will meet your needs. And we have to trust that. In Luke 11:13, now suppose one of you as fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? No. If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The greatest gift of all. And he's willing to do that. He's willing to meet your needs where you are. He's willing to discipline you to bring you to maturity. Proverbs 3:11-12. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Even as a father corrects the child in whom he delights. The children who cause the most trouble in the world are those who are never corrected. Amen? The adults that cause most of the trouble in the world are adults who were never corrected, and perhaps children who were never corrected. You have to teach your children to be good. We have to, as adults, be taught by our Father in heaven to continue to be good. Against our nature, do otherwise. He will always do what's best for you. God will always do what's best for you. But God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And furthermore, in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So we must have faith in that. The turmoil in the city mission that has occurred. I mean, it seems like, and it was an evil thing. I don't think anybody did it on purpose, at least they don't know that yet. But God turned that around and worked for good because you have churches all over the place gathering together as brothers and sisters in Christ. You have the incident in South Carolina. And so good can come out of it. Good can come out of it. And we have to trust that. We have to trust that when we believe in God. His love for you is not conditional on your love for him. In 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. God has loved us and draws us to himself. We don't love because somehow it's innate in us. It's not. It's only through God that it can happen. And we all know the parable of the prodigal son. And when he came back to his father, his father ran to him. See, his father never left him. He left his father. The Father's revealed in his love by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 4, 5, and 6, in our scripture today, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. It's this supernatural connection with God through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in your heart that makes us whole. The Holy Spirit works to revitalize your relationship with your Father to such a deep extreme. Now, I want you to consider this. To such a deep extreme that you can call the Almighty God of the universe, Abba. Which means basically daddy. That's almost hard to comprehend, I mean, when you really think about it. That's how much God loves us, though. And so you are brought into the family of God. You are God's own child, and He gives you an inheritance. Galatians 4:7, now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you an heir. It's the ultimate inheritance. Romans 8:15-17, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as children by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, we're heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if we indeed suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. It's the ultimate inheritance. That's where we will be forever with God our Father. That's how much He loves us. Whatever your experience of Father is, you just got to remember that as a Christian, don't yield to the temptation of thinking that God is like your earthly father. Instead, understand God as the God of the Bible, who is the model of a true and perfect father. And that, beloved, is who we are all part of the family of. God, our Father in heaven. He's a loving Father who saves you. He's a loving Father who takes you into His family. He will meet your needs. He will guide your footsteps with loving discipline. He promises to always do what is best for you. His love is unconditional. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He calls you His child, and you can call Him Daddy. He has an inheritance for you that surpasses all understanding. At home with our Father forever. Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, You indeed are just awesome. You give us a way to change lives. You cause us, Lord, to open our hearts and soften our hearts. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, You draw us to Yourself. You teach us. You give us wisdom. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we draw near to You. That we can come to You. That we can call You Father. That we can take Your hand as You walk us down heavenly paths. That we can embrace You and You hold us tight to Yourself. Help us to see, Lord, Your very presence with the eyes of our heart. Help us to understand Your love ever so deeper as we walk with Jesus Christ. We cry out to You. Daddy, we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.